We are all looking for ways to better ourselves and improve our lives for our futures. For sixth-year senior defensive tackle Jerron Cage, he has a special source of motivation that gave him the nudge he needed to stay at Ohio State for one more year. What is this special source of motivation? Well, we're here to tell you all about it right here on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to an episode of Locked On Buckeyes, the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Friday, May 27th in the year 2022, and today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I would also like to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen or first watch of every single day. On today's episode, we will discuss why Ohio State desperately needs Jerron Cage's leadership this season, and we continue our Buckeye road trip around the NFL today, talking about season expectations for Mr. Michael Thomas. Yes, Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints is back with us. But first, motivation. What motivates you? What motivates me? What places do we get motivation from to fuel us so we can better ourselves for our futures? We live in a time where social media, mainly the Instagram, is pushing, and people find sources of motivation on Instagram to get in better shape, to get healthier, start eating better things, get more greens inside of their diet, put more protein in their diet, maybe that nudge they need to get off the couch to run a 5K or maybe to just run a mile a few times a week. Instagram is a great place to do that. But that's on the phone. That's in the internet. What other places do we get motivation to motivate ourselves? Sometimes those places we get motivation are literally right there with us every single day. Jerron Cage has had an interesting journey at Ohio State. He redshirted his freshman year at Ohio State, played three games in 2018, occasionally played in 2019, started his first game in 2020 in the national championship for Tommy Togiai, and he had the option after last season to not come back to Columbus, to not play football anymore at Ohio State. But then he realized and looked literally right next to him and realized, staying at Ohio State is great for me, but it's not only for me. It's a great way for me to help my son and to allow him to not live the tough life that I lived as a young man. Jerron Cage had a son. His son's name, call him Jerron Jr., had his son in June of 2020. Think about what happened during that time period in our lives in the country, and think about what it was like to bring a youngster, bring a life into this world. Jerron Jr. fuels Jerron Cage. Jerron Jr. helps Jerron Cage to want to better himself and better his life down the road. And Jerron Cage talks about why this is important to him and why his son motivates Jerron Cage Sr. to be the best he can be during his final year at Ohio State. Here's what Jerron Cage had to say about this very topic. Quote, staying another year wasn't for me. It's to put me in a better spot for next year for him, so I could take care of him the best way I can. So that's my goal. I just want to make sure he has a great life. No struggles. I don't want him to go through the tough stuff I went through. I just love him to death, end quote. I don't have any kids at all. I have mentored some when in my younger days, but I don't know what it's like to be a parent, to be a father, to adopt a child and bring them into my life. I don't know what that's like. But from listening to my parents discuss what it's like, what it was like for them and their interesting journey to just be able to have kids when they were in their early years of marriage. For my brother, who is about to have his first kid, got married in August, having a baby, him and his wife having a baby in July. Just seeing their preparation from the room, from the house, to getting that ready and prepared for a baby to come into. For my brother, who is discussing things with his friends and how they handled the delivery process and the first few days, weeks, and months of having a youngster in the home. I see everything with them, and it motivates people. I mean, sometimes we just need to look right next to us and say, is what I am doing good for the other people that are in my life? Sometimes they're your friends. Sometimes they're your parents or your family. Sometimes some of you have kids, and you know what it's like to find motivation in the youngsters next to you so you and your family can be the best it can be down the road. Jerron Cage, this shows a wisdom. There are a lot of people that would look at Jerron Cage's life, career at Ohio State and would have said, well, 2017, 2018, 2019. Oh, first start in 2020, 2021 must be your year. No, he was a rotational piece last year for the Buckeyes. We all remember Jerron Cage's big man touchdown against Penn State, rumbling, fumbling, stumbling. There's even a GIF out there. I made one, and then some of the other people made a GIF as well of Jerron Cage when he's getting fanned with the towels by his teammates. We all remember that moment. That's great. That's huge. But there's more to be done at Ohio State, and I love stories like this, man. I love the human element coming out. I love seeing the human side of these athletes, and I love that Jerron Cage understands, this isn't about me. This isn't all about me. I'm living my life for myself and also to help my son as well. I'm going to leave you with this quote from Jerron Cage about some other areas and another statement that he made about his son and his decision to stay in Columbus. Quote, I could get to the article. Everybody's story is different. Everything has a purpose in life. And God puts you through things. And you just got to keep faith sometimes and just trust in his way. No more to say, no more to add. Jerron Cage said it very, very well. Guys, not only is Jerron Cage finding motivation for his life, but he's also should be a big piece of the leadership on the defense for Ohio State. Why is Jerron Cage needed for Ohio State's defense to be successful? Stick around to find out. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all our betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet online, where the game starts. Thanks for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen of every single day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your fine podcast. For motivation to leadership, this was not the avenue and the ways I thought we were going to spend our Friday together, but man, sometimes you just got to find these stories, fit them in here, and they just make for a great time together for you and I as we close out this week. Jerron Cage is a player, big man on campus, not the only big man on campus, but one of the big men on campus that is going to be needed for Ohio State's defense to be better. Everybody talked about how there were liabilities on defense last year. Everybody talked about how there were things wrong with Ohio State. The defensive line, the linebackers, some of y'all criticized the DBs. A lot of y'all, including myself, criticized the coaching staff. We all found areas of fault. Some of those things that were wrong last year, some of those people are gone. Some of them are still here. And if you're still here, you're looking to improve, you're going to need somebody to lead you. Now, granted, if you're a leader as an athlete, you still need a leader as a coach. If you're a leader as a coach, you still need your boss to help you stay and make the right decisions. Everybody needs guidance. And I firmly believe, as I look at Ohio State's roster on defense, look at the experience on the defensive line, look at what Jerron Cage has done, I firmly, firmly believe Jerron Cage and his leadership is desperately going to be needed for this team to be the best defense it can be. Jerron Cage, currently slated, he slotted to be the starting nose tackle this year. He has been at that position numerous times throughout his career at Ohio State. Teron Vincent is slotted to be the defensive tackle or three technique, if you want to get a little nerdy there, on the defensive line. So you have a senior and a senior, two guys that have been there for quite a long time. Jerron Cage is utilizing his COVID year to stay at Ohio State one more year. I believe this is Teron Vincent's fifth year in Columbus. Behind him, you've seen a little lack of experience. A few youngsters that are right there behind those two gentlemen. Tylik Williams, redshirt freshman, who I think will get a lot of playing time this year. Ty Hamilton, redshirt sophomore, somebody else, who I believe will be, get a lot of playing time this year. Those are slotted to be or projected to be the starting back, excuse me, not, can't start and be a backup, the backup defensive tackles. And then it gets interesting. Is Jaden McKenzie going to be in there? I do think Mike Hall is going to get some playing time, but Mike Hall is a redshirt freshman. And there lies the area. A part of the reason why this leadership is going to be needed from Jerron Cage, but it's not just there. We can look at just the defensive tackle position and say, wow, there's a lack of experience. There's a lack, there's not much depth. We have some guys that have played. Tylik Williams played a little bit, but many people think he should have played a whole lot more. If you look at the defensive end position, because this unit plays together and need to be good to be the best that this team can be. Zach Harrison, Devontae Jean-Baptiste, Tyler Friday, they've been at Columbus for quite a long time. Tyler Friday missed last year. You have JT Tuamaloa, Jack Sawyer. Are you going to get Caden Curry to come in and play as well? There is a lack of experience. Yeah, Tuamaloa and Sawyer played a lot last year, but you still have a young man in Caden Curry that is going to need some guidance. They're going to get it from their guys at their position, but also those guys in the interior work very well with the guys on the outside to make this defensive line a well-oiled machine. Jerron Cage's leadership is huge in football, man. It's absolutely huge. When I remember when I was in high school, my senior year, my sophomore year, varsity was 11-0 going into the sectional championship game. Undefeated regular season at 9-0, won the first two games of the sectional. I forget who they played the first two games. One of them was, I believe, against Arlington High School. Forget the other game. It was many moons ago. And then you're playing Warren Central, the reigning state champions. Put out numerous guys that play D1 football. And so it was supposed to be like the winner of this is probably going to win the state championship this year. Leadership during that year was huge. It was also done by the seniors. You had guys like Will Glover, who was a track star, won the state championship and the 100-meter dash his senior year. Will Glover was a leader in the secondary. He also played a little offense as well. Kyrie Abdullah played D-tackle and fullback, 5'11", 260. That boy was hard to take down at the fullback position. Luther Rush played a little running back, played a little linebacker as well. Matt Dow played linebacker. You had a quarterback as a junior that's in Spud Dick, who ended up playing D3 football. Yes, his name was Spud Dick. I'm going to leave it there. But he was one of two juniors to play, and so this team was littered and filled with seniors starting on both sides of the ball. You had a starting sophomore as well in Ed D tackle, Terry Johnson, who was looking to guys like Dwayne Briscoe on the outside at defensive end, Cole Willis at outside at defensive end, Kyrie Abdullah at D tackle. The youngsters were looking up to the seniors and saying, hey, man, look, I'm new at this level. I am new at this position. I need you to help me be the best I can be so we can be as successful as we can be as a team. That team, I firmly believe, if they did not run into Warren Central in the sectional championship and they had a different opponent, they probably would have gone further in the tournament and really had a good shot at winning the state title my sophomore year. Would have been a great experience. I learned a lot from those men. But the leadership from the seniors motivated, and a lot of times the coaches didn't have to police things on the field. The players did it themselves. Transition to my junior and senior years. Really, my junior year, my senior year was a little bit different. That's a conversation I might have to discuss a different day. A lot of the coaches really derailed a lot of things there. My junior year. Remember, I just said my sophomore year, we had a lot of seniors, and they were not just talented, but they were really good leaders. Junior year, the leadership was different. Now, this is not a knock against the gentlemen, the guys that were playing on that team that were now seniors. But their leadership style and their command and control of the team was a whole lot different than those guys that I played with my sophomore year that were seniors at that time. The team was different. Not as talented, but also there was a lack of discipline at times, not just in practice, but it also trickled into the game. A lot of guys were selfish. I remember one guy, was just doing things for himself, but that's just what that was him. And you could not get anybody that was a senior with him in his class to change his mind. And ultimately, it derailed a lot of things that we tried to do my senior year. I think we got through the first round of sectionals and then lost in the second round once again to Warren Central. I mean, they not only ran the city, they ran the state. They were that good. Leadership is key. And a lot of times on a football team, a coach is going to look to the seniors. Look to those that have been there for a very long time. Because the coaches know and the players know. If those guys that have been at this level for a long time, if they don't step up, if they don't do their job, if they don't do what's needed, ultimately, it's going to derail how successful we can be this season, and it's going to derail how good our team can be in practice and preparation leading up to games. Leadership from seniors is needed. It's huge. If the seniors don't do well, how can you expect a freshman or a sophomore to be the kind of leader they need to be, because they're just following in the example of the older guys on the team? Jerron Cage is not only an older guy, he's someone that has been around a while, been under different coaching staffs. He has a special source of motivation. Got to tie that back into this as well. And I do believe Jerron Cage's leadership, not just as a starter, but also helping the youngsters, it's going to help his defense be a defense we'll be talking about as one of the most drastically improved defenses in the Big Ten Conference. Guys, the Buckeye Road Trip around the NFL rolls on. Ross Jackson is with us to talk about season expectations for Mr. Michael Thomas on Monday. Before we go anywhere, on Monday, remember, we're not going anywhere. We're still going to be here. The show is going to roll on. Jay Crawford of WKYC and of also the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show will be with us. A special episode we have recorded, and it'll air on Memorial Day on Monday. As we roll on and continue our Buckeye road trip around the NFL, we have talked about Paris Campbell, Tyquan Lewis, Pete Werner, and today it's about another New Orleans Saints that Buckeye to the Bayou pipeline is not cut just yet. It is all about Michael Thomas today, and Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints is back with us to talk about a wide receiver that many of you love. Ross, you're back. Michael Thomas is back. That's a great combination.
Oh, I love hearing that. I love being in that same conversation, because I got to tell you, the New Orleans Saints cannot be more excited to have Michael Thomas back coming into 2022. That is the expectation. Saints fans cannot be more excited. I'm sure Buckeyes fans are very excited to see him back on an NFL field as well.
Being back on an NFL field, being back on a football field, I don't care if it's Little League or the NFL. Being
put him in the USFL, see what happens.
Man, I mean, he's going to kill it. Put him back on a football field is amazing. And the fact that he is back and he's excited, not just because he's teaming up with a Buckeye, he also has Jarvis Landry over there. Y'all are doing something weird down there in that lab down there in the Bayou, and I want some of that to trickle up north to the Indianapolis Colts. That's a conversation literally for another day. But Michael Thomas is back. Can you give us an injury update with him? I understand he had ankle surgery in 2021.
Yes, he did. He had ankle surgery in 2021. He had ankle surgery before, you know, that was scheduled kind of before that. There was a whole kind of maybe miscommunication, maybe some balls dropped, whatever it was, that ended up delaying that over the course of the offseason. It ended up putting him on ice for the beginning of the season, and then come to find out by the time, it was actually the exact same week that Jameis Winston suffered the torn ACL and learned that he was going to be out for the season. The Saints also learned, oh, Michael Thomas ain't going to be ready for the season either. So that was a rough week coming out of Halloween of all weeks for the New Orleans Saints. But after that, he's been, you know, rigorous in terms of his rehab, his training, coming back, everything. Dennis Allen has spoken with him. Dennis Allen flew out to California, where he's doing most of his rehabilitation, to talk with him. Dennis Allen, now the head coach of the New Orleans Saints after Sean Payton stepped away for at least this year. And it seems that everything's on track. And Dennis Allen will tell you he has some hurdles to clear before he can get out on the field, but there's no reason to believe that those aren't the usual hurdles, right? Getting out there and doing some physical activity, being a part of 7-on-7s, being a part of team drills, getting some contact, all those things. So should be the usual hurdles that one must clear coming back from an injury during the off season. Nothing super substantial. So the Saints are expecting to have him back in 2022. He's clearly ready and excited to be back in 2022. He's been working with Chris Olave. They just spent 10 days together out on the West Coast working together and everything. And so, you know, he's ready to be back out there, and all the fans are ready to see him as well.
Michael Thomas is back. He has a new quarterback, has a new head coach. How does that affect him getting back on the field and being implemented into the Saints offense?
It could potentially get him back to that 2016-2017 usage where he was a threat at all three levels as opposed to just being that short and intermediate threat. I mean, you look at his route distribution, around 20 to 30% of his routes are kind of the, really more than that, around 50% of his routes are these in-breaking short to intermediate area routes or out routes. They love running out routes with him as well. He's one of the best in the league when it comes to that. So a lot of that has been short intermediate area between, let's say, the line of scrimmage up to maybe like 10, 15 yards. So now you kind of wonder, all right, Jameis Winston's got the big arm. Dennis Allen, Pete Carmichael, they want to be able to throw the ball, clearly, considering this receiving core that they put together and in how well they want to be able to focus in the run game to help set up the passing game. Are we going to see him threaten downfield a little bit more? Now, he's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's a natural separator. He understands how to restack and win in terms of leverage so he can get himself in position against those players. And the thing that's really great about that as well is that if he starts to challenge into the third level, then all of a sudden he's running those types of clear outs that are pulling safeties out of the way and opening up the field for guys like Chris Olave and Jarvis Landry. So it all kind of works in symbiosis. Even when he's not getting the ball, if he's a threat at that third level, then all of a sudden it opens up that New Orleans Saints passing game even more on that side of the field. And I think you will also expect to continue to see him take around 25 to 30% of his snaps from the slot. Jarvis Landry can move outside. Chris Olave can move inside, play outside. The versatility of this receiving core with those three guys, and especially with Michael Thomas back, who's going to draw the attention of those linebackers in the hole, who's going to pull those safeties down when he's running in the intermediate area, it's huge for what the New Orleans Saints are looking to bring back to the passing game in 2022.
Michael Thomas was one of those players that's always been a fan favorite. Doesn't matter if it's Ohio State or New Orleans. Mm-hmm. His work ethic, his ability to get open, and you mentioned him being able to get open in all three levels in all facets of an offensive passing tree, he can get open there. He is one of those guys. He's going to compliment. I hope he compliments very well Jarvis Landry and Chris Olave. How do you think – I told you I'm going to try and tie this in some point, and here it is. How do you think that Olave and Thomas can help each other be the best they can be in that Chris Olave can potentially win – NFL Rookie Offensive Player of the Year?
Yeah, so I would say one of the biggest sort of concepts or common concepts the Saints use in the passing game is called a Mills concept. Okay. So what that is two receivers on the same side of the field, one on the outside, one on the inside. The one on the inside runs maybe like a 12 to 15 yard in route. So that's just pushing up field and then basically just 90 degrees going toward the middle of the field on the break. And then the one over the top will usually run something like a 15 to 17 yard break on a post route. So he's coming diagonally infield, but upfield as well, kind of running toward the goalpost. So what that does is that it puts a lot of pressure on the safety and turns the safety into what's called a conflict defender, meaning that that safety's got to make a decision. Am I going to take away what's coming over the top, or am I going to focus down on maybe what I'm seeing first, which is the in-breaking route down at 12 to 15 yards toward the center of the field? The way that these two guys complement each other is that Chris Olave has the speed to immediately separate off the line of scrimmage and even at the break because of how well he rotates, dips his hips, and then explodes out of breaks. Him running that post route, he's going to see a lot of action on that route and a lot of action in that concept coming from there. If Michael Thomas is on the inside, like I said, 25 to 30% of his snaps are going to come from the slot. So if he's in the inside and he's making that in-breaking route, safeties are going to pull down to him because that's Michael Thomas, and that's the guy that coach told me I have to key in on. So if that safety pulls down and Chris Olave wins his one-on-one on the outside, or what turns it to a one-on-one on the outside, whether it's at the line of scrimmage or at the break, then all of a sudden you're able to take the top off. If the safety makes what is actually the wiser decision and says, I have to protect the deep ball here, then all of a sudden you've got Michael Thomas streaking across the field. And then, oh, by the way, Jarvis Landry's running, cutting through the middle of the field on a drag route, and Alvin Kamara's coming out into the flats as well. While everybody's occupied with what's going on with the receivers, you can get to Alvin Kamara in space if the safeties do a good job taking away all the options up top. So that's the way that I think that those two guys immediately impact one another, and then the way that the ripple effect hits the rest of the players on offense.
Okay, y'all, we hear all about NIL being used illegally in college football. What he just described is illegal. Y'all cannot have all those weapons on the field at one time. That's stuff you see in Madden. or an NCAA football, the new video game's coming out. You guys are doing illegal stuff in the National Football League, man. Roger's coming after y'all.
Hey, as long as it's not Saban. As long as it's not Saban coming by and talking trash. Because he'll get put in his place real quick. Dennis Allen ain't playing no games.
Then you're going to have an emergency press conference. The coach is going to be 10 minutes late and then call his former coach, former boss,
right,
a narcissist. I mean, it's right, the world we live in.
Sean might show up. Sean might show up.
And give you
don't
my
want
job back.
You don't want that, Nick. You don't want that, Nick. You don't want that smoke.
Right here. Ross and I have way too much fun, if that's even possible. If you could, Ross, let everyone know once again where they can follow you on Twitter and then check out your stuff at Locked On Saints and the Saints Wire.
Absolutely. At Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter, Locked On Saints podcast, just like the Locked On Buckeyes podcast, every Monday through Friday, covering, of course, the New Orleans Saints, but also some of your favorite Buckeyes at the next level. Doing the same over at Saints Wire, saintswire.usatoday.com. If you're into the written word, you can check all that out over there as well.
This will not be the final time you hear Ross or see Ross if you're on YouTube here on the podcast. I've already talked to him about some other players that are in the Bayou, New Orleans Saints players that we will discuss here as we continue our Buckeye road trip around the NFL. Ross, thank you once again for coming back.
Always a pleasure, homie. Looking forward to being back with you.
Thanks for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen every day. Make sure to check out the Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get your fine podcast.